thankful for the prayer. Really enjoyed the song service and enjoyed the fellowship before services. I'm just very thankful that the Lord's given me such a place to be able to have worshiped and worship today. The house of the Lord and its beauty is more than we could ever put into words, and what it has meant to us in our life is more than we can ever really express. I just want to be more thankful for what God has given me and what He's blessed me with here in this world and the way of His kingdom, and enjoying the services of God as I've lived here in time. What heaven must be is more than we can ever really grasp or think about. But I think one of the things we see, the closest we'll ever see to heaven here on this earth, is a meeting like this, whether it's here at Happy Creek or one of our sister churches, where God's people meet to worship the Lord and to honor Him. And in that kind of worship service, I believe we get a little foretaste, a little earnest of that inheritance that awaits us in heaven. So I hope the Lord has blessed you to have a hunger and thirst for it. If you do have a hunger and thirst, it's the Lord who's blessed you with that hunger and thirst, because nobody else could have given it to you. But and if you find it to be a pleasant thing to be glad to come to the house of the Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord." If you find that to be the case with you, you can thank God today for what He's done for you, because otherwise you wouldn't see it as a blessing at all. And seems like I've had several passages of scriptures on my mind, and none really more seemingly impressed upon my mind than others. So we'll just try to follow the best we can as the Lord leads. And if that means I'm not here very long, that'll be okay too. And we've had a good meeting. And the song service has been rich. The gospel has been preached in song. And a wonderful prayer has been offered. And we've had good fellowship, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And I do pray that He'll bless me. I don't know of any preacher that gets in the stand who doesn't want to preach. I want to preach a whole lot better than I do preach. But I know this, my want to doesn't make it happen. And we're dependent upon the Lord. And if the Lord blesses, then we'll have preaching. And if the Lord sees fit to bless us by withholding a blessing, so that we might see it's of the Lord, then let thy will be done. And I hope I can say that either way, that I want to be settled and reconciled to the will of God. Certainly don't want to blame Him, though, for my frailty and inabilities, because He's not responsible for my mess. He's the reason I'm not a mess in any way whatsoever. Without Him, I'd be altogether a mess. So we give the Lord the praise for all good things. With all that said, let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them, and would like to the 84th division of the Psalm this afternoon. Psalm 84. I'm going to read all 12 verses in your hearing, and you just pray for me that the Lord will bless us in reading it, as well as anything that might be said that it would be in accord with the rest of the Bible and pleasing to the Lord. And if it is, it'll be good for you as His children. Psalm 84, I know we've used this in times past, don't really know when, but it's on my mind, and pray the Lord to bless it. Psalm 84 says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. In Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in Thee. We are thankful today for this particular psalm. I'm thankful the Lord has given it to us in His Word, as we should be for every verse that's found in the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that perfect is not that we'll be without sin, but it means we're complete with the instruction the Lord has given us in His Word. We don't want to add to it. We don't want to take from it. We want to preach His Word. We want to do it without fear in regard of men. But in the fear of God, we stand and want to declare the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Here the psalm writer writes and says, "How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." And that verse is ended with an exclamation mark, which, if I've got things straight, means that we're to express strong feelings with that. And I don't know of anything more strong that we ought to be expressing today than to think about the tabernacles of the Lord, the dwelling places of the Lord, and how beautiful, how altogether lovely — that's what the word amiable means — that those places are. How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. We think about God's people, who are really the tabernacle of the Lord. You know, in you dwells the Spirit of Almighty God. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, He dwells in you. That's a wonderful thing to think about. One place the Bible says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And He has taken up His abode in your heart. And that makes you, as His little child, the dwelling place of the Lord. You are His tabernacle. He dwells in you. He's taken up His abode in you. And when He does that, there's a great change that takes place in the life of an individual. They're not just the old natural man, the natural woman that they were. They have spiritual thoughts. They have spiritual concerns. They begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They have a love for the Lord because He first loved them. They're given the fruit of faith whereby they are able to believe and trust and depend upon the Lord. And God's little children, when the Lord manifests His presence in them and they shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ which is in them, they are indeed beautiful. God's people are beautiful. We sing a hymn that says, "Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee." Now, you look at a congregation of old Baptists and you won't see on the outside anything too beautiful. You may see folks that look kind of rough and gruff sometimes. And I'm not saying anything about your appearance today, but I'm saying there's nothing special about us on the natural outside. As a matter of fact, it probably on the natural outside, sometimes they don't look like maybe that's the place to be or that's the place to go. There's nothing really in a natural way that's appealing or attractive. But to a little child of grace — I remember Daddy preaching about this when he first saw a group of God's little children worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord. Even as a young man, he thought, "Those are my kind of people, and I want to be with them." And I thought, well, what was that? What was the beauty there? Well, what he was seeing was God's children worshiping the Lord. And Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. That's just something attractive. Even if the Lord's given you an eye — now, it's not attractive if the Lord hadn't given you an eye to see it, and the Lord hadn't given you a heart to understand it, and the Lord hadn't opened your senses so that you can view it. But once God has worked on your heart, and you've been made a new creature, and that's by the power of the new birth, then there becomes something attractive about the fellowship of God's people and the church of the living God, and where God's people are meeting to worship the Lord, especially in truth and spirit and in truth. And those who worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And even before you really grasp all the truth, or even before you have a lot of understanding, there's just something special about being with God's people at the house of God. And I think most of us who have had the experience of being there, and sometimes some of us was carried there as little children, and some of us was there, and we didn't even really know necessarily why we liked it. We didn't have a clear understanding. But we knew something special was going on there that was not of this world. And we would have to say, even as we look back on that, that it was altogether lovely. Now, not all of us were blessed with the privilege of being in an old Baptist church from a young age. Many of you were brought up in it. You didn't have a choice about whether you were coming to church. You had what the old brethren used to call a drug problem. You were drugged from this church to that church, and you didn't really have asked the question, do you want to go today? Wasn't one of the questions you were asked. It was like, the question basically was you asking, where are we going? Because you knew we were going somewhere. And it was good to know, though, even though at all times you had a hunger for the natural things of this world, the old natural man, we still have got a conflict with that today, don't we? We have the old natural man that might want to be somewhere else, that might want to do something else. You know, seems like on a 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon, a lot of things going on, we could be somewhere else. But I'll tell you, of all the places we could be, and you know this is true in the inner man, I know the old natural man is saying something else, but that inner man, that spiritual man, that person that you are by the grace of God knows there's no more lovely place to be in all of the area or anywhere else, unless it's another place like this where God's people are meeting to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And God's people are beautiful. They're beautiful not on the outward appearance, but that which shines out from them, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's beautiful to see God's children loving one another. It's beautiful to hear them sing together, to have fellowship with one another, to tell one another that they love one another, to show the love flows from breast to breast, and we have love not just for one another, but to one another, and God's people are identified by that kind of love. And it's no better place to be than that place. Now, it's good to be here when the preacher preaches, but it's good to be here when he tries to preach and can't, because we know it comes from the Lord. It's good to be here where we can sing. When the singing's good, it's really good. And when the singing's not so good, it's still good. It's good for God's children to gather together. How amiable, how altogether lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now, what's beautiful about the Lord's church? Well, let me just say it in one word. Christ. Jesus Christ is the beauty of the church. As a matter of fact, the beauty that we have spiritually, each one of us as God's children, is nothing more than Christ in us, the hope of glory. The only light you and I have to shine in this world is the light of Christ, which is in us. And we're to reflect the light of Christ. We're to be as much as we can like Him and walk in His ways and walk in His works and do that which He has told us to do. And in doing that, we let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify not us, but glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He glorified His Father. He glorified the God of heaven. And that is what's amiable or beautiful about the tabernacles of the Lord. And that's why when we come together like this, it's pleasing to our Lord. And anything you and I can do to please the Lord, we ought to be doing it. That's why it says, for brethren, for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, sometimes it's easy to come to church. Sometimes it's hard to come to church. Sometimes it's harder than other times. Sometimes it's easier than other times. But nonetheless, our duty and our responsibility as God's children is to make ourselves available to attend the house of God, to be faithful, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that trouble us, all the things the Gentiles seek after will be added unto us. That's the promise of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? But how beautiful is His tabernacle? Nobody had to twist my arm to come today. I hope nobody had to twist yours. But if it takes us, we have to sometimes, and almost every day, all the time, deny the flesh, deny the old man, and take up our cross and walk in the new man in that newness of life that the Lord's called us unto, and we'll have. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I hope we can all say that together today and put that exclamation mark on the end. So it's really with strong feeling, not just saying the words. Sometimes our words are on track, but our heart's far from Him. Isn't that true? And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that's exactly where we get the strength to say this from. The psalmist here writes, my soul longeth. Can you feel that? You ever just, I got to get to church. You ever had a hard week? I hope when you have a hard week, you think, I need to get to church. I hope when you're having a problem you're facing, you think, I need to get to church. I hope you see your need of that. Now, what's the importance of getting to church? Those church folks have the same, we all came in and have all got the same needs. We all got troubles. And if we had to look to ourselves to get the answers, we'd be in a mess. But I'll tell you, we don't come here to look to one another. We come here trusting in the Lord. And what we do is tell one another to trust in the Lord. We tell one another to lean upon the Lord. If the preacher's faithful, he tells you to trust in the Lord. And if you're faithful and the preacher's getting all shaky, you tell him to trust in the Lord. And what we say to one another is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And we say it over and over and over again. And even though we've embraced it for the moment, guess what? We've got another moment coming where we're going to need to hear it again. And then another moment after that, and another moment after that. And every day we face, we need that. And every time we have the opportunity, we should make ourselves available and come to the house of God where we hear it said, and our soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. Oh, you know, when you haven't eaten for a while, you get longing for food. Sometimes when I'm dieting, I even dream about food. I go to sleep at night and think about food and wake up being feeling guilty for a big plate of something I ate that I shouldn't eat, and be so glad I was sleeping. That I was longing for it. And I hope and pray it's like that way spiritually. When I can't get to church, I long for it. How about it? You know, when you want to go and you can't get to go. I talked to Sister Martha just a little while when she wasn't able to come, and I could hear in a voice this verse. It said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. And she saw the church as the courts of the Lord, the place where we come enter into His courts, enter into His gates. Well, you know why that's wonderful? Because we come in here and we say, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for all the good things. Where I begin to look at the good things that He's provided, and I count my blessings and name them one by one. And we get to the place we can't even see when bad things come, and all we can see is good. When you get out in the world, just the opposite happens. All you can see is bad, and you can't see the good. And you can't even see when good comes. And you faint like that heath in the desert that begins to trust in man. But that tree that's planted by the water, that tree that is drawing from the river and the fountain, the Lord Jesus Christ, that tree can't even see when evil comes, when you get hit by the tempest. And by the way, it's not if you get hit, it's when you get hit. You've been hit, ain't you? You had enough of that. My soul's longing for church. Because it's here that I find peace and rest and joy. It's here when I remember the good. It's here that I get told again what this wonderful psalm tells us over and over again. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now this is not a dead man giving life. This is a living little child of God longing for fellowship with the Lord. And so many in the world get that so confused. They think it's the dead man who cries out for the living God. The dead man doesn't cry. He's dead. He can't cry. The dead man doesn't have a want. He doesn't have hunger. He doesn't have an appetite. He doesn't have sight. He doesn't need light. Light on a dead man doesn't do him any good. But a living little child of God that's been quickened by Almighty God has a hunger that only Jesus can fill, that needs light that only can come from the Lord. They need instruction from the Word of God that it can only be heard by a little child of God. They don't need it to get alive. They need it because they are alive. And that's what we believe that's so different than so many believe. They believe you got to have all this to get life, and that if you don't get it, you won't have life. We believe God gives you life and you didn't do anything to get it. He gave it to you because He loved you. He made choice of you even before the foundation of the world. And there's not any of His children that won't get that life that comes from Him. And those who've been given that life need some light, need some strength, need some help. They have an appetite and a hunger. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He has provided His church, His tabernacle, His courts as a place to feed God's little sheep. We came here not to get alive. We came here to get food. We need sheep food. I need instruction from God's Word. I don't need goat food. I need sheep food. God's little sheep need to be taught from the Word of God. And He says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God." And here the psalmist says, "I found a place where that's at." And he says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself." Have you found this to be a place for you? Listen, if you love the Lord's church, you ought to be a part of it. If you love the Lord's church, you ought to take up your cross and follow the Lord in baptism as He's told us to do. If you love the Lord's church, you ought to be a part of the communion table. You ought to be a part of that which gives honor and praise and glory to the Lord. Now, if you don't love the Lord and the things of the Lord and you don't have a desire for that, none of those things are for you. But if you have a love for the Lord, it's because He first loved you. And this is a house that He has provided. It is as the psalmist said, "A sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." And I have found this church to be a blessing, not only for me, but for my family. Have you not found that to be the case? I have seen it as a place that has brought healing to my family. I've seen it as a place that has brought help and strength to my family. And I'll tell you, the beauty of that is not the people that were gathered here. They were a blessing. But the reason they were a blessing is because they were His tabernacle. He dwelled in them. And the reason that they've been a blessing to others of God's children is because they let that light that was Jesus Christ shine out of them. Can you think of those dear old saints that have been a blessing to you down through the years that meant so very much? My mind's filled with them today. Those dear old ones that are now with the Lord. I'm telling you, the beauty of those brothers and those sisters was not in them. It was in the Lord. They were His tabernacle. And they made a special place in our lives because of that. And by the way, they're not gone. They're in a better place. They're not dead and separated from us. They are dead bodily, but they're not dead spiritually. They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And all is well with them. What a wonderful thing that we have enjoyed the fellowship. And I found it to be a place for our young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And then verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." Do you understand today that if you've seen this place, it's because you've been blessed. It's a blessing to be here, but if you've been blessed if you see it. You've been blessed if you know it. God has given you a special blessing. Just think of all the things we could have missed in this world. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord has seen fit to allow us to have this sweet fellowship here in this world? This is the house of His abode. There's a little old church that I love so well. It is there I kneel to pray. There we pray with others of God's children. And we wouldn't have had this church had not Jesus gone to the cross. We would not have had this church if he had not bought it and paid for it with His own shed blood. We would have not had a desire for it or a hunger for it had the Lord not worked that in our hearts and given us that. Even though some of us were brought up, some of you were brought up, not wasn't necessarily, but some of you were brought up in that place, you know from your own experience, it wouldn't have been a place you'd have loved unless the Lord had awakened you to see it and to know it. What a blessing it is. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And then the verse says, they will be still praising thee. I believe that's a verse that tells us the Lord's church is just going to continue right on in this world. I've heard brethren say, when you have a dear old preacher that you love so well and something happens to him, you say, "What are we going to do now? Brother so-and-so is gone. Elder so-and-so is passed on. What are we going to do?" Listen, Elder so-and-so didn't start this, and Elder so-and-so is not going to keep this. And those faithful men, though they've been a blessing to us, were a blessing for the time that they were here. But you better believe this, the Lord who built this church will keep it in this world until He comes again, because He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And there will be a place where blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee. When? They'll be praising thee, continuing to praise thee. They'll be faithful and earnestly contend for the faith. The Lord will keep His church here in this world. When the Lord comes again, will there be a witness here in this world? When the Lord returns, the Bible says absolutely He will not leave Himself without a witness. Isn't that good news? Now, I pray that it'll be right here at Happy Creek. I pray it'll be at Robinson River. I pray it'll be over at Cedar Creek. I pray it'll be in all these places. It may not be in those exact places. The church has moved from time to time, but somewhere in this world, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's church will remain until the Lord returns. The Word of God here says they will be still praising Thee. And that means in the hard times we ought to be praising Him. And in the good times we ought to be praising Him. When is it time to praise the Lord? All the time, anytime, all day long, all the time, 24/7. We have a Lord who's worthy of praise. And then this little word, Selah, means to pause and think about that which He has said. And that's what we want to do right now. Just pause and think. Be still and know that the Lord, He is God. And then He says, blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. It's a blessing to know that my strength's in the Lord. How do you feel? Do you feel strong today? Sometimes I look at myself and I think, I'm so, Gary, you're so weak. So weak. I have other dreams. Sometimes I dream and remember, and I remember I had a dream last night, and I'm not preaching dreams because I don't believe we're to do that. I believe the Word of God is what we're to preach. But we can share them as they relate to things. And I had a dream last night about it just seemed like I was pointed out to be just a deceiver. You ever get concerned about just being someone who's just deceiving? Am I just playing games, just deceiving? I'm so thankful that my salvation is not in what I've done for the Lord, because I've got so much that I've messed up on. My dependence, my strength, my ability, everything that I am that's worth anything comes from Him. I'm dependent upon Him. If I'm going to be beneficial as a minister and as a pastor, it has to come from Him. If you're going to be beneficial as a member and whatever calling God has given you as a member, the strength has to come from Him. If I'm going to be a help to my family, the strength has to come from Him. If I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be on the job or in my daily walk in this world, my strength has to come from Him. If I'm going to be of any good or benefit to anyone, all I am in and of myself, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. I have to have the strength that comes from Him. Isn't it good to know He's our strength? He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. Now I want to tell you, though we are weak in ourselves, we're not weak in Him. And so a little child of God who's trusting in Him, you got a David with a slingshot who trusted in Him. I'm telling you what, a Goliath couldn't stand against that little boy. That man who stood there in the face of Goliath. You got three Hebrew children facing a king who's full of all kinds of power, who's about to take their lives. I'm telling you, they couldn't touch Him because their strength was in Him. We got the Hebrew children and the Egyptian army coming upon them, and the Red Sea standing between the army and the Red Sea. What a place they were in. There was no strength in them. But I'll tell you what, there was strength in Him, and He had no trouble parting the waters, and they went across. And that same river that they went through, where the water stood up on a heap, came back in on the Egyptian army, and the strength of God was sufficient to wipe out that whole mighty army. I'm telling you, we have a God that as we trust in Him, we have the strength to do whatever we need to do. So when we start thinking about you ever feel like I can't do this? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make it. Well, look to the Lord, because He's your strength. And He will grant you the strength that you need. He's done it in the past. He has done it for us in the past. And He will continue to do it. And I know I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard already, but I want to tell you over and over and over and over and over and then some more. And when you hear me faltering, because you will. And when you hear me not believing it, because you'll see me that way, I want you to remind me and say, listen, He is our strength, and in Him I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can depend upon Him. And the psalmist says that. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. And this verse seems a little strange, but what it's saying is that our heart gets in line with God's Word. God's little children's heart ought to be lined up with God's Word and the ways of God's Word. We ought to be having our minds and thoughts upon His ways. Be not conformed to this world, he said over in the book of Romans, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why it's important for us to be in God's Word. to be a student. Brother Jamie often tells his congregation, if you're not a Bible reader, I encourage you to become one. And that's a good thing to encourage God's people. There's nothing more important for you and me to do than to read God's Word. Sometimes you say, we might say, well, I'm not understanding it very much. Well, just keep on reading, because it's amazing what God will do when we start hungering and thirsting after His Word. Because as we read, we may get to some things we don't understand, but we get to some things the Lord allows us to see. And then He'll call back at times in the church of the living God. He'll call ministers to preach, and they'll come in and preach on those very things you've been reading. I dare say every one of you can attest to this. At times you've been a student and studying God's Word as He's told you to do it, and you'll see something you didn't understand, and maybe He'll bring a preacher in from Arizona. Or whoever knows, who knows where. And he'll stand and preach something that you know you need. Last Sunday we had a sermon preached. And I know things in this church that were needed to be said were said from the pulpit in a way and in a manner that was even more effective than if it had come from me. Because I knew about him. He didn't. But you know what I liked about it? I know this. That had to come from the Lord. And that gave me even more confidence. You know, when you see God, and have you not seen that over and over? Sometimes you'll wonder, has the preacher been with me all week? Has he been checking in on me all week? Is he looking at what's going on in my life? Because he seems to be, have you ever felt like it was just preaching right to you? You know, it's wonderful when you feel that. Now, who can make you feel that? Well, it's not just the preacher. Listen, if the preacher does it, you don't give the glory to the preacher, because he doesn't. Well, let me just say it plain. Most of the time, we don't have a clue. Even if we've upset you, we don't even know we upset you. Even if we've made you happy, we don't know why you're happy. We look on the outside. You know how much we know on the outside? About as much as you can know about me on the outside. It's not much you can see. But I'll tell you, the Word of God is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He's a divider asunder of the intents of the heart, and a bone in the marrow, and the soul and the spirit, and there's nothing hidden from Him with whom we have to do. Isn't it wonderful to know we've got a Savior who can bless a preacher to hit every point that needs to be hit, and do it in such a way that we don't give that man the glory, but give the glory to Almighty God. And that's what's found in His tabernacle that makes it so amiable. That's a good word, isn't it? It's an amiable place. I said, how was your meeting? Next time someone asks you, how was your church meeting? Just tell them it was really amiable. They'll go like, what? Amiable. What is that? It's altogether lovely. When the Lord manifests His presence and He says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. Let's go. Verse 6. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. And the best that I can get from this valley of Baca is that it's a place of difficulty. We all have our valleys, don't we? Valleys of trouble. We get through some place that seems to be so hard, and you can just say, I'm going through the valley of Baca here. It's a place, it's a dry and barren valley. It's a rough place. It's a hard place. But notice what the little child of God does. When the one who's trusting in the Lord, whose strength is in He, when he goes through the valley of Baca, he makes it a well. In other words, it becomes a place where he's nourished. You know why? Because he turns to that fountain of living water. Remember in the wilderness, as they traveled through the wilderness, they weren't thirsty in the wilderness. They weren't hungry in the wilderness. And you say, well, why weren't they? Because it was a wilderness. There was nothing for food there. There was no water there in and of themselves. But I'm telling you, they had plenty of water. You know why? Because Christ followed them through that wilderness. And He was that rock where they got the water. Do you know the Lord is with us and He follows us through the wilderness? And when we look to the rock that fed them will feed us. The rock that supplies our thirst and quenches our thirst will feed us. We look to the fountain of living water and we draw with praise and glory to God from the wells of salvation. We give all salvation comes through the cross, but there are many wells and the Lord provides for us along the way. Hadn't He provided for you along the way? And who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Do you believe the Lord's able to supply showers of blessing? Oh, absolutely He does. And He gives us strength along the way. And God's little children in this world, get this, they go from strength to strength. From strength to strength. So how am I going to face today? Well, the strength that he gave me today, I'm going to need for tomorrow. And guess what? When I get there, I'm going to go from strength to strength. Every single day that I live, even the very day that I leave this world, I can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what a blessing it is to know that we get, the Lord is ever present with us. We go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. So when we come to the house of the Lord, it's not just others that we appear before. Listen, we're sitting in the presence of the Lord. Keep that in mind when you're at church. It'll help you behave and act a whole lot better to remember I'm appearing before God. I've come before the Lord. I'm making an address to Him. I'm looking to Him. Listen, I didn't just come to church here to see you. I'm thankful to see you. But oh, if the Lord had not manifested His presence, wouldn't this be a dry, cold place if the Lord hadn't manifested His presence? But I feel Him today. I feel Him this afternoon. I'm thankful for that. That's why it's amiable. That's why it's a lovely place. And he says, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. And now when we cry, give ear, O God of Jacob. And then again, pause and think about that. God of Jacob is a God who, Jacob, remember, is a picture of his elect family. Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. The Lord's elect people. He's the God of Jacob. He's the Lord God of hosts. Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Verse 9. Behold, our God, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointing. And we know David was an anointed king, and we know Jesus Christ was an anointed Savior. But you know every one of God's little children is one of His anointed. He's anointed every one of you. He has filled you with His Spirit. And His Spirit dwells in your heart. Look upon the face of thine anointed. That means, Lord, watch over me. Take care of me every day, every hour. Lord, be with me. For a day, and I love this verse, and I know you do too. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. You want to spend some quality time? Just spend them in the house of God. Every opportunity you get is better than 1,000. I've had some good days. But one day in His courts, better than 1,000 days anywhere else on the face of this earth. And then he says, I had rather be a doorkeeper, that is the lowest position, in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In other words, all the things this world can afford. The hymn writer said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this whole world affords. I hope we all feel that way. And to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, it's better to be here. One day in His courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, that's who He is a sun and shield. And the sun provides us heat. He provides us spiritual heat. He provides us light. He provides the spiritual life. The sun, naturally, without the sun, all the plant life would die. And without plants, all the animal life would die. The sun is that important. But I'm telling you, the sun we serve, the S-O-N, is more important than the S-U-N because He's the one who put the sun in the sky. He's the power source of the sun. And the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He's our protector. He's also the one who provides all good things to us. The Lord will give grace and glory. Isn't that good news? So I need grace in order to get through this week. Well, can I say to you, the Lord will give grace and He will give glory. All the glory belongs to Him, but He'll lift up His children in the place they need to be. And then He says, get this, remember this, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Somebody said, but who are those that walk uprightly? It's those whose heart is in the ways of them, those who follow after His Word, those who hunger and thirst and seek to do His will, those who want to follow Him. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Not because they deserve it. Remember, it's because of His grace. It's all because of His grace. And by the way, if He didn't give us grace, none of us would ever walk uprightly. Some people say you walk uprightly, He'll give you grace. That would be works, wouldn't it? We walk uprightly because He's given us grace. And we're to walk in that grace. And then we'll close with this verse, the last one. He said, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in Thee. I pray that the Lord would bless us to do that better and better. When we trust in the Lord, we're like that tree planted by the water that can't even see when evil comes. Can't see when the rain comes. Can't see when the trouble comes. When we trust in man, we're like that little heath bush in the desert, that little scrub bush, and we can't see when good comes. So when you look at your life and when you get to that place that you can't see when good comes, check it out and see, who am I trusting in? When I'm trusting in man, that's where I am. When I trust in the Lord, I realize He will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. And you're walking uprightly when you trust in Him and leaning upon Him. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. I don't believe it's probably a thing that I've said this afternoon that you haven't heard many, many times before. But I hope and pray we keep on hearing it. I hope and pray I'll be blessed again some other time to stand and say those same things that are bringing honor and glory and praise to the Lord. If I've said anything otherwise, please forgive me for that, for that's what should be preached from our pulpits every time we stand. The Lord is the one we're to trust in. May we be able to do that better and better until He comes again. He's our strength and He is our Redeemer. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. 398. And there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I love you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate your prayer.